بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask him Jalla wa Az to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, first and foremost, I advise myself and then all of you all present here to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be conscious of Him azza wa jal during every single second of our lives if we wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa and the ones who are victorious and successful. Ameen. Inshallah ta'ala, for today's khutbah, I hope to elaborate and expound on the first principle from a very famous book, and this book belongs to a very great imam who is also known as Imam Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the imam of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and he was none other than Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah. The name of this book is Usul Sunnah, a very famous treatise of the great Imam, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. In this particular book, the Imam very clearly draws his creed, his belief system, derived from the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A very short, concise treatise, but there are many scholars who have written shuruhat, written commentaries in regard to this particular book, an amazing book. An amazing book that very clearly states his creed, his belief system, as well as the creed and the belief system of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the scholars of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, in terms of the title Usul Sunnah, it can be translated as the foundations of Sunnah. The foundations of the Sunnah. If you take the two Arabic terms, Usul Sunnah, the first term, Usul, is the plural of asl. Usul is an Arabic term, it is the plural of asl. And asl can be translated as the foundation, as the core matter. Say for example, if you take the foundation of this building, if it is strong, then obviously this building is going to be strong and last for a long time, inshallah ta'ala. But on the other hand, if the foundations of a particular building is weak, then that building obviously tends to sway and deteriorate after a period of time. Talking about the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, obviously the foundation is so strong that if someone were to hold on to it, he is no doubt going to be successful in this world as well as the hereafter. So asl, foundation. Usul sunnah, the foundations of the sunnah. If we were to translate and define a sunnah, according to how the scholars of the past, our salafun as-salih, how they have defined it. Because normally when you take terms such as sunnah, salah, when you go through the books of fiqh, when you go through the books of a hadith, you would always find that in general these terminologies have two definitions to it. You have a lughatan definition and a shar'an or istilahi definition. In the sense, you have a literal definition to the term and you also have a technical definition to a particular term. Say for example, if you take the term salah, and when I say salah here, you all know what I'm talking about. In the sense, I'm talking about the salah that we generally offer unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we talk about the literal definition of a salah, it is dua. Dua. Praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The salah that you and I, we refer to, is the technical definition of salah. And that is a set of prescribed actions. Listen to my words carefully. A set of prescribed actions that begin from takbiratul ihram and end with the taslim. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. This is the shari'i, the technical definition of salah. Let me repeat again for the purposes of educating ourselves. The shari'i, the technical definition of a salah, is a set of prescribed actions. Prescribed actions that begin from takbiratul ihram and end with the taslim. From the minute you tie your takbiratul ihram, a set of prescribed actions such as ruku', such as i'tidal, sujood, al-julus bayna sajidatayn, prescribed actions that begin, that commence from takbiratul ihram and end with the taslim. This is the shari'i definition of a salah. So likewise, when we talk about sunnah, the term sunnah, you have a literal definition as well as a technical definition to it. The literal definition of sunnah is a pathway, a road, a way. And that's why we say that this is the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This is the literal definition, or at least one of the literal definitions of sunnah. As for its shari'i, as for its technical definition, scholars rahimahumullah, they state that you can define sunnah as aqwal wa af'al wa taqrir an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the actions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, and the approvals, the sanctions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Let me repeat once again, as this is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He used to repeat a matter once, twice or thrice for the masses to understand his statements. He spoke with extreme clarity, profound words sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, this particular term can be defined as the aqwal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as well as the approvals and sanctions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Let me swiftly give you a few examples, as examples bring about clarity. Aqwalun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, you have all of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Say for example, the famous hadith where he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is reported to have said, innamal a'malu bin niyyat. Innamal a'malu bin niyyat. Wa innama li kulli imri'in ma nawa. Until the end of the hadith. Every action is, or actions are based upon an individual's intentions. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. Your actions are based upon your intention. This famous hadith, these are words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So this is number one, aqwal. As for af'alu Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, say for example the hadith, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you have seen me praying. So you have the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that have been recorded in the books of a hadith, where we know how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam did certain things. So we follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is from the sunnah as well. And finally, you have the third category known as taqrirun nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The approvals and the sanctions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Where perhaps something may have occurred, he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam kept quiet about it. In the sense, he may have not approved of it, or he may have approved of it, but he did not explicitly say, do not do this. He kept quiet about it. So if he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam kept quiet about a matter, it indicated that he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam approved of it. Because he being the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, it is his responsibility, it is upon his shoulders. If he sees something wrong happening, if he sees something evil taking place, if he sees something in contrary to the teachings of Islam, it is upon him to voice out and stop it. So if he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam kept quiet in regard to a matter, it indicated that he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam approved of it. So this is from the taqreer, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the sanctions and the approvals of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now coming back to the title of the book of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, when he titled it Usul al-Sunnah, the scholars who write the Shuruhat, the commentary of this particular book, they state that he may have intended this particular definition of sunnah, or his definition there, or what he intended there, could have been much broader than what we just mentioned. In the sense, he could have also intended that which he sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam came with, in terms of what he came with in regard to the Quran. Because Allah Azza wa Jal states in Surah Al-Najm, in regard to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam came with, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌّ يُوحَىٰ. He sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he does not speak out of his own desires. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. In regard to what he brought about in terms of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. It is divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, he could have intended something more broader than what we just defined. He could have also intended the Qur'an as well as our aqidah, our belief system. The creed that you and I, we are upon, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all upon that which is correct and upright. Ameen. So this is in regard to the title, very swiftly. Moving on. The Imam starts off his book in regard to the first principle by saying, Usulu sunnati indana. The foundations or the principles of the sunnah by us, indana, according to us. And when he says according to us, the scholars who write the shuruhat, the commentary of this particular book, they state, he is intending the scholars of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The scholars of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Today you have this term, Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, being, you know, flung about very loosely. You see, so many people deeming themselves from Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, whilst at times they are involved in many things that are contrary to the teachings of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us all from the true Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ameen. So the Imam rahimahullah, he states, Usulu sunnati indana, the principles of the sunnah, the foundations of the sunnah according to us. And then he starts off to mention the first principle, the principle that we are going to expound today, inshallah ta'ala. The first principle is التمسك بما كان عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم والاقتداء بهم. The first principle, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, please listen to me attentively. Profound words, powerful words that we will expound inshallah ta'ala. التمسك بما كان عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم والاقتداء بهم. It is to hold fast to that which the Sahaba, that which the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam were upon, and to follow them. To hold fast to that which the Sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam were upon, and to hold fast in terms of following them, the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, before we move further, I think it would only be appropriate if we define this particular term, Ashabu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now, I've loosely translated the principle. Let me try to expound and clarify in terms of the profound words that the Imam has come about with, inshallah ta'ala. So, Ashabu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who is the Imam intending when he says Ashabu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? Ashab is an Arabic term that stems from the root sahiba yashabu, in the sense to accompany someone, to stay in the company of someone, to be with someone, to befriend someone. This is the verb that it stems from. Sahiba yashabu suhbatan wa sahabatan. This is the verb that it stems from, this particular term, ashab. Now, ashab is the plural of as-sahib or sahabi. Ashab is the plural of as-sahib or as-sahabi. In reality, it is the plural of as-sahib, which is the plural of sahabi or as-sahib. I hope I have not lost you all. Please listen to me attentively, inshallah ta'ala. Ashab is the plural of as-sahib, which is the plural of as-sahib or sahabi. Sahabi or as-sahib can be translated as one companion. And ashab is a group of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. A group of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This is the definition, the literal definition of ashab. Now, how would we define this technically? How would we define this technically? Let me give you the definition of a very famous Imam, and he was none other than Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah. He states that for someone to be deemed as a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, there are three conditions that need to be fulfilled. Three conditions. I hope you are all with me. Three conditions that need to be fulfilled for an individual to be deemed as a sahabi from the ashabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Three conditions need to be fulfilled. Number one, he needs to, in other words, he is supposed to have met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. He is supposed to have met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. This is condition number one. But barely meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam is not enough for him to be deemed as a sahabi. He has to fulfill another two conditions. Condition number two, al-imanu billahi wa rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. He is supposed to have met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, and he is supposed to have brought in iman in Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. He is supposed to have met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, and he is supposed to have brought in iman in Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Because we have a number of individuals who met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, but they did not bring in iman. They did not believe in Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. We have a number of individuals. Abu Lahab, we have a number of individuals. Abu Jahl, so many individuals who met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, who lived during the same era of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, but they did not bring in iman. They did not believe in Allah, nor did they believe in the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Now, even if an individual were to fulfill two conditions, the first two conditions, and if he had not fulfilled the last condition, he will still not be considered a sahabi from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So what is the final condition? The final condition is that it is upon him to die upon the pale of Islam, to die upon the fold of Islam. Say if an individual were to have met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brought in iman in Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, but he died an apostate, he died a murtad, he will not be considered a sahabi. He will not be considered a sahabi. He will not be considered from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So three conditions clearly need to be fulfilled for an individual to be deemed as a sahabi, as a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me swiftly run through the three conditions. The first condition, he is supposed to have met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second condition, he is supposed to have brought in iman in Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The final condition is that it is upon him, he should have passed away upon the pale of Islam, upon the fold of Islam. And these individuals were deemed as the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And this is according to the definition of Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, and having defined who the Ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam were, it is upon us to proclaim an announcement. An announcement that each and every one of us should listen to it too attentively, and also carry it across the world, across the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And this proclamation, this announcement, is that once an individual is deemed as a sahabi from the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, no one has the right to talk against that individual. No one has the right to talk bad about the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Be it any of the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Kulluhum udul. They are all righteous. They are all upright. All of the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And in regard to their ranks, in regard to their status, in regard to their honor, there are many ayat of the Quran that declare it, and the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that clearly and explicitly state so. The sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, no one has the right to talk against them. Because sadly, today we have many groups who hide their true colors, who hide their true identities, and they go about talking bad about the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. They talk bad about our mother, Aisha radiyallahu anha. They talk bad about the best of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu an, and Umar radiyallahu an. They go around talking bad about them. They tarnish them, ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. The people of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, those who believe in the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, do not talk bad about the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een. We have a famous hadith. Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, he narrates this hadith. The narration goes along the lines of these words. He once asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, of all the individuals, who is the most beloved unto you, Ya Rasulullah? Beautiful question. Please listen to this hadith, this incident. He asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, of all the individuals, who is the most beloved unto you, Ya Rasulullah? Just imagine. You know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? Aisha radiallahu anha. Our mother, Ummahatul, from the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. Aisha radiallahu anha. She is the most beloved of all individuals unto me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying this. Authentic hadith. An authentic hadith. This is the declaration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to all those individuals who talk bad about our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. To all those individuals who talk bad about the great Sahabi Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anha. Afterwards, Amr ibn As radiallahu anha continued with the conversation and he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, min al-rijal, from the men. What about from the men? And you know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? Abuha. Her father. In other words, his own father-in-law, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. The most beloved of all individuals to me, according to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said it was Aisha radiyallahu anha. And then from the rijal, from the men, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Allahu Akbar. Declaration from the words, from the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may my mother, my father and myself be ransomed for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who can question the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, it is upon us, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we be extremely careful with our words, especially when it comes to talking about the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Sadly today we observe individuals who are not firmly grounded in knowledge. They've read a few books perhaps, a few articles online, a few PDF files, and they start declaring statements against the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. It's very sad. We live in an era and a time where trials surround us, where fitan surround us, where bid'ah, where innovation surround us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us upon the straight path. May Allah azza wa jal open the doors of understanding for all of us. Ameen. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, let me give you an athar. And when we say athar, this is a statement of a sahabi radiallahu anhu. You have, according to the scholars of hadith, this is something technical, but for those who may benefit inshallah ta'ala, you have three terms. You have something known as hadith, you have something known as athar or athar, and you have something known as a khabar. All these three terminologies can be translated as the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But according to certain scholars, the ahadith, or when you say hadith, it explicitly means the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you say athar, when you use the word athar, it means something that a sahabi radiallahu anhu said. Something that a sahabi radiallahu anhu has narrated. So we have an athar that has been recorded by Imam Ahmad himself in his musnad, in his book. And this is the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He states, and his words go along the lines of these words, that Allah Azza wa Jal, now remember, these are the words of a great Sahabi. These are the words of a great Sahabi. And even though he does not say that I heard it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is the obvious possibility that he must have heard it somewhere from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he cannot come up with his own stories. He must have obviously heard it from the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though it has not been mentioned that he is reporting from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now listen to his words, beautiful words. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he looked into the hearts of his slaves. Allah azza wa jal looked into the hearts of his slaves and then found the heart of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the best of hearts. Allahu Akbar. The best of hearts. The most pure of all hearts. And he Azza wa Jal chose Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam to be his prophet. Let me repeat it. Allah Azza wa Jal looked into the hearts of mankind. He looked into the hearts of mankind and found the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam to be the best of hearts, to be the most pure of all hearts. And he chose him sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam to be his messenger, to be his prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Allah Azza wa Jal looked into the hearts of mankind and he found the hearts of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in to be the best of hearts after the prophets alayhim salatu wasalam. To be the best of hearts after the prophets alayhim salatu wasalam. And he chose the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in to be the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. To be the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jal, he states in the Noble Quran,
كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله.
An ayah that we are all very familiar with. كنتم خير أمة. You are the best of nations. You are the best of nations. Why are we titled the best of nations? تأمرون بالمعروف. You enjoin good, وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You forbid evil, وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. And you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, who were the individuals addressed at the very inception by this ayah? Who was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking to? None other than the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. They were the first of individuals to be addressed in this ayah. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةِ. You are the best of nations. We are all included, but the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, they were the first to be addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You enjoin good and forbid evil. Coming back to the athar that I just mentioned of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an, he went on to say that Allah Azza wa Jal looked into the hearts of mankind after choosing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and he found the hearts of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in to be the best of hearts, the most pure of hearts after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, after the prophets. So he chose them to be the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He chose them to be his companions, to be his wuzara, to be his counsel, to be those who are by his side at all times. And he chose them to fight by his side, the companions, ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, coming back to the first principle of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, in his famous book, Usul al-Sunnah, holding steadfast onto that which the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in were, and holding fast in terms of following them. They were the best. According to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the best of generations, or the best of the people, are my people. خَيْرُ الْقُرُونِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of generations, they are my generation. The ones with me, and then those after me, and then those after me. In the sense, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, and then Atba'u Tabi'een. The Sahaba, and then the Tabi'een, the ones who came after the Sahaba, and then the ones who came after that. Three generations, the three righteous generations. And these are statements by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We're supposed to follow them. And what were they upon? They were upon the pure teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Today, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, can any one of us, the most righteous of us, the most learned of us, the most knowledgeable from us, can any one of us claim that we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam more than how the Sahaba loved them? More than how Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? They left their wealth, they sacrificed their wealth, their family, everything that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam asked them to migrate, they migrated from Makkah to Medina. Sincerely, solely for the pleasure of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. They left their families, they left their wealth, they left everything. They fought by the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Talking about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he used to accompany Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wherever he went. You know the journey where they undertook during Hijrah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Hijrah. There are narrations, there are companions, there are narrations that have been recorded where Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, at one point he used to walk behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and at certain junctures he used to walk in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is reported to have said that whenever I thought of those who were chasing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from behind him, I used to run behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because I was so concerned for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whenever I thought about what may be in store ahead of him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what may lie ahead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of potholes, in terms of deadly insects and animals, I used to run ahead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and clear the way for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They loved Rasulullah so much, Allahu Akbar. They loved him more than themselves. These were the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. How can you and I today, how can we claim that we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than the Sahaba? At times we do certain things claiming that we are doing it out of the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst when we go back to the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, we see clearly that the Sahaba were never involved in such acts. So if the Sahaba were not upon those acts, they are clearly deemed as innovations. And we have the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that every newly invented matter is a misguidance. وَكُلَّ بِدَعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. Every innovation is a misguidance, and every misguidance is in the blazing inferno of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from the blazing fire of Jahannam. Ameen. So very clearly Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he starts off his treatise by saying, hold fast to that which the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in were upon, and hold fast in terms of following them. We have another statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Let me mention that and inshallah ta'ala we'll wrap off the khutbah. He states very clearly and very strongly, مَنْ كَانَ مُسْتَنَّنْ فَلْيَسْتَنَّ بِمَنْ قَدْمَاتْ. If you want to follow someone, if you want to take someone as a role model, take those who have passed away. Take role models from those who have passed away. فَإِنَّ الْحَيِّ لَا تُؤْمَنُ عَلَيْهِ الْفِتْنَةِ. Because those who are living, those who are amidst us, you may see certain individuals, very great individuals amidst your circles. But then again, they are alive and they are not free from fitna. They are not free from the traps of shaitan. Until an individual passes away, believing in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we don't know what may happen towards our latter stages. May Allah azza wa jal make us all die upon that which is correct and upright. Ameen. So if you want to follow someone, if you want to take someone as a role model, take someone who has passed away, and he, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an, then clearly states, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And they are the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Yes, obviously, the role model of all role models was none other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He is the pinnacle. He is an exemplary role model. We are supposed to follow him. After him sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, they are the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he went on to say, كَانُوا أَفْضَلَ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. They were the best of this nation, the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. كَانُوا أَفْضَلَ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَبَرَّهَا قُلُوبًا. They were pure in terms of their hearts. Their hearts were free. Their hearts were innocent. Their hearts were so pure. And أَعْمَقَهَا عِلْمًا. And they were firmly grounded in terms of knowledge. They were firmly grounded in terms of the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because their teacher, their ustad, their sheikh was none other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today you and I, perhaps we are students of a particular sheikh. Obviously, we are all students of a particular sheikh. I studied under someone, perhaps you have studied under someone. So naturally we look up to that individual. We tend to follow that individual. We respect that individual. We honor that individual. And we love that individual because he is from our mashayikh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive the sins of our mashayikh and grant them the highest ranks in Jannah. Ameen. We all respect our teachers. And who was the teacher of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Who was their teacher? Their teacher was none other than the best of all teachers, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. They loved him so much, they respected him so much. And in terms of the teachings, he taught them the very best. There's no doubt in the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever they had a doubt in regard to a certain matter, a certain issue, they used to run to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he used to clarify matters for them in a very beautiful way, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, sadly, because of certain petty issues, small differences of opinions, we tend to start bickering amidst ourselves. We tend to start fighting amidst ourselves. It's so sad. The Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have so much of potential within us. If we were only to unite and work towards a great legacy, we can. But sadly, we have fragmented ourselves into tiny pieces and we start fighting amidst ourselves. Allahu Akbar. And this fighting, we never ever saw it during the times of the righteous Salafun as-Salih. We didn't see Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, fighting with Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. We never saw Imam Shafi'i fighting with Imam Malik, rahimahullah. They disagreed, yes, there were many matters where they disagreed, but they disagreed respectably, in a very honorable manner. And this difference of opinion did not start during the times of the scholars, rahimahumullah. This started during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We have the famous incident of Banu Qurayza. Banu Qurayza was a Jewish tribe. During the battle of Khandaq, I'm sure most of you must be aware in regard to the battle of Khandaq, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered that deep trenches should be dug in front of Medina. This was the idea of Salman the Persian, radiyallahu anhu, Salman al-Farisi. They dug trenches, deep trenches in front of Medina, so Medina's front was secure. But the back of Medina was open. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had an agreement with Banu Qurayza, a Jewish tribe. They struck an agreement. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to an agreement with them that they would protect the back of Medina. This agreement, they betrayed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They breached this agreement and they allowed enemies to enter from within, to infiltrate from within. So after the battle, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends a group of Sahaba to Banu Qurayza. Because Banu Qurayza, they were fearing, because they had breached the agreement, they fortified themselves within a fortress and refused to come out. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a group of the Sahaba to talk terms with them. And he very clearly instructed this group of Sahaba, pray Salatul Asr at Banu Qurayza. Look at the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Pray Salatul Asr. Very clearly, pray Salatul Asr at Banu Qurayza. Halfway through the journey, the time for Salatul Asr enters and they were about to miss Salatul Asr. In the sense, the time for Salatul Asr was running short. It was coming to an end. So now, that particular group divided into two, not literally, in terms of a difference of opinion. One group said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very clearly stated that we are supposed to pray Salatul Asr at Banu Qurayza. So come what may, we are going to go to Banu Qurayza and pray Salatul Asr. The other group, they said what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant was that we are supposed to hasten and make it for Salatul Asr at Banu Qurayza. But here we are only halfway and the time for Salatul Asr has come about. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. Indeed, salah has been prescribed upon the believers at appointed times. We are not allowed to miss salah. Let us stop and let us pray Salatul Asr and continue. One group stopped and prayed, the other group went and prayed at Banu Qurayza. After they got back, now look, difference of opinion, but they did not divide. They did not fight with one another. They went to Banu Qurayza and they executed what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted them to do. They obeyed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but in this regard, they differed. When they came back, they referred to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just imagine, try to guess what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam might have said. Do you think that he said, no, group A is correct, group B is wrong? Group B is wrong, group A is correct? No. He said, both of you have done what is right in terms of your own ijtihad, in terms of your own reasoning. Both of you, both of the groups have done what is right. So this is difference of opinion. And we see so many differences of opinion amidst the Sahaba, amidst the A'imma, amidst the great scholars of the Madahib. But today, we at times, we don't have firm knowledge, but we tend to say, oh, this scholar is wrong, that scholar is right. We tend to go fatwa shopping. We want to make something halal, we go to scholar A, if he says it's haram, we go to scholar B, if he says it's haram, we go C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, until we make it halal, and perhaps when scholar X or Y made it halal, we start to talk bad about A to Y. All of them are wrong, only this scholar, mashallah, he is proper, because he made it halal for me. The others are all wrong. They are upon dhalala. Sometimes we state very erroneous statements. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to control our tongues. Ameen. So it all boils down to following the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following that which the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in were upon. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, famous narration of Ibad ibn Sariya radiyallahu an. He states that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he delivered a sermon. He delivered a sermon so powerful that our hearts were trembling and tears started to flow. We looked at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, it looks as if this is a farewell sermon. Please advise us." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them some powerful pieces of advice. And from those pieces of advice was that hold fast, along the lines of these words, hold fast to that which the righteous khulafa are upon. Hold fast in the sense, bite onto it with your back molar teeth. Look at the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. When you hold onto something with your back molar teeth, with the teeth at the back, can you pull that thing out of your mouth? You're holding onto it, you're crunching, you're biting on it so hard that you can't take it out. Hold on to that which the Khulafa or Rashidun are upon with your back molar teeth. Because you will see a lot of differing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, you will see a lot of differing, a lot of difference of opinion, but hold fast to that which the Khulafa or Rashidun are upon. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, along the lines of these words, that my ummah will divide into how many sects? 73 sects, 73 factions. And then the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as to which faction. Because of all of the 73, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say, from all of the 73, 72 will be in the fire of Jahannam. Only one firqa will be Najiyah. Only one will be saved. Only one faction. So the Sahaba very quickly asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, which faction is this faction you're talking about?" And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said along the lines of these words, "It is the faction that is upon my sunnah and the sunnah of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in." Very clearly. So why are we deviating? Why are we going away from the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why is our belief system being contaminated with things that oppose the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, please let us get our priorities straight. Let us seek knowledge. Knowledge, you have to seek it. Our religion is a knowledge-based religion. You can't get away without seeking knowledge. You can't say, "Oh, I've read a few books, I've read a few articles, this is enough for me." You can't suffice yourself with that. And today we live in an era where there are so many opportunities for you to seek knowledge. There are workshops being held, there are courses being conducted, there are videos online, there are books online, there are even courses held online. You don't even have to leave your home. There are perhaps scholars working very hard within your communities, within your societies, within your masajid, and they are trying their level best to disseminate knowledge. But how can a scholar disseminate knowledge if there aren't any students? We are all students of knowledge. None of us can claim to say that, "Oh, I'm a scholar now, I don't have to seek any more knowledge. I am the Grand Mufti of the country, I don't have to seek knowledge." No, it is a gradual process. We all have to keep seeking knowledge. We have to beautify and perfect our relationship with Allah. In terms of our ibadah, in terms of everything that we do, we can't remain in the dark. Many of us are just groping in the dark. It is incumbent upon us to seek knowledge. So let us all firmly intend to use the resources that we have at our disposal, to use the tools that we have at our disposal, to learn that which is correct, to learn the authentic teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to learn the authentic teachings of Islam, and to stay away from innovations, to stay away from deviating from the correct path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of understanding for all of us. May He azza wa jal instill in our hearts the zeal to seek that which is correct and upright. May He help us to understand that which is correct and upright. May He help us to stay away from all innovations. May He help us to stay away from the paths that lead to misguidance. And may He Azza wa Jal forgive our sins, and just as how He united us here in this particular masjid, during this rainy Friday. May he unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Amin wa akhir da'wayan. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.